First News. Indonesia Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources and Chairman of the Task Force for the Acceleration of Downstreaming and Energy Security, Bahlil Lahadalia, held the inaugural meeting of the Task Force for the Acceleration of Downstreaming and National Energy Security, held at the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources Office, Jakarta, on Friday, January 17, 2025. According to Minister Bahlil Lahadalia, President Prabowo Subianto asked the downstreaming to prioritize domestic financing to reduce dependence on foreign financial institutions. Minister Bahlil also conveyed that the involvement of domestic financial institutions is to support not only the downstreaming policies, but also an opportunity to strengthen the national financial sector and encourage economic independence. It is in line with Presidential Decree No. 1 of 2025, which emphasizes the importance of downstream to increase investment and create added value in the country. He has further emphasized that the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources will become the coordinating center to carry out the strategic steps that have been formulated to increase investment and downstream over the next 5 years. The second news. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for the Economy Erlangga Hartarto welcomed Indonesia's victory in the palm oil dispute with the European Union at the World Trade Organization. According to Minister Erlangga, this victory proves Indonesia's ability to fight international trade discrimination. In Jakarta on Friday, he emphasized that Indonesia's victory at the WTO is proof that palm oil-based biodiesel is recognized by the world. Through the panel report on January 10, 2025, the WTO decided that the European Union has discriminated by giving unfair and detrimental treatment to Indonesia palm oil and biofuels. Minister Erlangga hopes that the victory of Indonesian palm oil at the WTO can facilitate the completion of the Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement between Indonesia and the European Union. The palm oil case at the WTO has so far haunted the Comprehensive Economic Cooperation negotiations between Indonesia and the European Union. The third news. Indonesia Minister of Trade Budi Santoso re-emphasized the role of the warehouse receipt system is supporting food self-sufficiency. This was conveyed by Minister Santoso when attending the food coordination meeting chaired by Coordinating Minister for Food Zulkifli Hasan in Makassar, South Sulawesi on Friday. According to Minister Budi Santoso, warehouses in the Warehouse Receipt System program of the Ministry of Trade can be used to store food commodities such as rice or grain and corn. The warehouses owned by the Ministry for the Warehouse Receipt Program can be used and jointly together to optimize the use of SRG facilities in food self-sufficiency. He also urged local heads to optimize the use of warehouse receipt system in their areas. Minister Budi added that the Minister of Trade follow-up President Prabowo Subianto directive by preparing the warehouse throughout Indonesia as a means of storing rice or grain and corn. Currently, there are around 100 warehouses that are not yet operational with a total capacity of around 145,000 tons. Moreover, Minister Budi emphasized the importance of maintaining food price stability, food self-sufficiency. The fourth news. The Indonesian women's futsal national team defeated the Indian futsal team with a landslide score of 6 goals with our reply at the AFC Women's Futsal Asian Cup 2025 qualifying event at the Amongrogo Sports Center in Yogyakarta. In the first match of the qualifying round against Kyrgyzstan, Garuda Pratiwi team also won 11-3. Indonesia Women's Futsal National Team coach Luis Gonzalo Estrella said that he deliberately made a more intense rotation and also saved energy for the last match against Hong Kong on Sunday. Nevertheless, Estrella appreciated the hard work of his players.
So we shift the win, score 6 goals. I think we
jadi play. Kami layak untuk menang, meski kami pikir kami hanya mengeluarkan sekitar 50-60% kekuatan kami. Tim ini memang berpesta 6 gol, tapi kami bermain lebih cerdas dan tentunya menyimpan tenaga untuk pertandingan terakhir pada minggu besok. Mungkin pertandingan ini bukan penampilan terbaik kami, tetapi anak-anak punya rasa kepercayaan diri yang baik dan mereka bermain dengan sangat cerdas.
I think today was not the excellent performance, but I think it was a very clever performance with our goals at the end.
Meanwhile, captain of the Garuda Pratiwi team, Novita Murni, admitted that it was difficult in the early minutes of the match to break in the Indian goal. However, after the first goal, the players were freer to dismantle the defense of the Indian women's team led by Ritika Singh. Igi Rosita successfully opened the first goal for the Indonesian national team in the 7th minute. Then at a close time, namely minutes 13 and 14, Salsabila and Fitri Rodiana increased Indonesia's lead 3-0. In the second half, three more goals were created to complete the Garuda Pratiwi national team's goal party. Indonesia also confirmed a ticket to the AFC Women's Futsal Asian Cup 2025 finals, which will take place in China in May. The fifth news. Indonesian startups have again made achievements in the international arena by dominating the ASEAN Digital Awards 2025 in Bangkok, Thailand, by winning 9 of the 18 awards given. The awards include 4 gold medals, 3 silver medals, and 2 bronze medals, most of which were won by startup partners of the Ministry of Communication and Digital through the Digital Mentoring Program. Minister of Communication and Digital, Mutia Hafid, in her statement regarding the ASEAN Digital Awards 2025 from Bangkok, Thailand, as reported on Sunday, pointed out that this victory proves that Indonesia's startup ecosystem is not only growing rapidly, but also be able to compete at the international level. According to Minister Mutia, her side is committed to continuously encouraging the growth of Indonesia's startup ecosystem through various strategic programs and assistance. She affirmed this success confirms Indonesia's position as a major force in the Southeast Asian digital ecosystem, while strengthening the country's role in innovative and inclusive digital transformation. The sixth news. The Indonesian Minister of Tourism, as Indonesia's representative in the Travel Exchange ASEAN Tourism Forum 2025, which took place on January 15 to 17, 2024 in Johor Bahru, Malaysia, presented a number of new programs to support the flagship program of Indonesia's tourism development. Deputy for Marketing of the Ministry, Nimade Ayu Martini, in her remarks at the Travel Exchange ASEAN Tourism Forum 2025 in Johor Bahru, Malaysia on Friday, conveyed that the Tourism Village Development Program remains a flagship program in Indonesia's tourism development. But there are several new programs that are presented to strengthen existing programs. Nimade also explained that these new programs are presented as an effort to present quality and sustainable tourism in Indonesia. Thus, Indonesia is increasingly recognized in the international market, especially in the Southeast Asian market. In addition, she pointed out that on this occasion, the Minister of Tourism collaborated with the Consulate General of the Republic of Indonesia, Johor Bahru, the government of the state of Johor, and the provincial government of Riau Island, strengthened connectivity from Johor to Indonesia and vice versa, and initiated cooperation in the cross-border promotion program. And the final news. The Ministry of Creative Economy says that digital printing can be a solution for creative economy players to get royalties. Therefore, the ministry continues to encourage them to keep developing a bid to compete in the global market. Deputy Minister of Creative Economy Irene Umar, in a press statement in Jakarta on Saturday, hopes that the use of digital printing technology can open up opportunities for fashion businesses to collaborate. Meanwhile, Deputy for Cultural Creativity and Design of the Ministry of Creative Economy, Yuka Sri Rahayu, appreciates the idea to raise crafts from traditional craftsmen. Moreover, these results can be applied to fabrics using digital printing technology. And that was the news from Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The first item in the news from across Indonesia comes from Sungai Liat, Bangka Belitung. The Kwanti Miao Amal Abadi Batu Rasa Temple in Merawang District is making various preparations ahead of the celebration of the Chinese New Year 2576 Kong Zili or Imlek 2025 on January the 29th, 2025. One of the administrators of the temple, Alian, said that another celebration falls on the 15th day of the first month of the Chinese calendar called Chap Gome. Alian said that various preparations were made, including cleaning the temple, both inside and outside. Meanwhile, one of the Chinese residents of Sungai Liat, Rico, said that cleaning the house is an early tradition to welcome the Chinese New Year 2576 Gongzili or Imlek 2025. According to him, based on the Confucian religion, cleaning the house is done to bring prosperity and fortune in the new year. The next news comes from Buleleng Regency Bali Province. The Buleleng Regency Government Bali, together with the ranks of village heads known as Perbekel and Lurah in the area, commemorated National Village Day by planting chilies in the Singaraja City Forest. Acting Regent of Buleleng, Ketut Lihatnyana, in Singaraja Wednesday said that the commemoration of National Village Day in Buleleng was more specific and not only related to the ceremony alone. The acting regent, who is also the head of the Bali Province Human Resources Development and Personnel Agency, hopes that all Perbekel will be wiser in managing the village revenue and expenditure budget. Since planting plants related to food security, he said it has been channeled through village funds, including the purchase of plant seeds that can be planted to support food security. The commemoration of National Village Day in 2025 is the first to be held after the issuance of Presidential Decree No. 23 of 2024, which stipulates January the 15th as National Village Day. The commemoration of Village Day shows the government's commitment to overcoming various problems in village throughout Indonesia. The last item in the news from Indonesia comes from Badung Regency, Bali Province. Badung Region Inyoman Giri Praste attended the Mapak Toya Tawur and Tokelem ceremonies held at Ulun Danu Beratan Temple, Baturiti District, Tabanan Regency on Tuesday, January the 14th. Region Giri Praste appreciated the community and traditional leaders for their dedication to preserving Balinese culture through holding this religious ceremony. According to him, the ceremony is not just a procession, but a tribute to nature that gives life. According to Regent Giri Praste, the Mapak Toya Tawur and Pakalam ceremonies have deep meaning in a religious and ecological context. Meanwhile, Ulun Danu Beratan Temple has a position as a place of worship for Dewi Danu, who is believed to be the ruler of water and a source of fertility. This temple is a symbol of harmony between humans and the universe. In addition, Lake Beratan plays an important role as a water source for agricultural irrigation in the surrounding areas, including Badung and Tabanan Regencies. Badung Region Inyoman Giri Praste hopes the event can be an inspiration for the community to continue to maintain local wisdom and respect nature as a form of gratitude for the gifts that have been given. That was news from across Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Oh, again today in history with the event on January 18, 1958, when Jakarta became an autonomous region. Indonesian history records that Jakarta has experienced several names and forms. In September 1945, the current capital city of Indonesia, Jakarta, became the center of Indonesian politics and government under the name of the National Government of Jakarta City. 5 years later, the government of the Republic of Indonesia changed the name of Jakarta to Praja Jakarta. But in 1956, the mayor of Jakarta reaffirmed the name as Jakarta. Jakarta also became an autonomous region with the municipality of Great Jakarta on January 18, 1958, under the West Java province. 1 year later, Jakarta's status changed to a level 1 region or province led by a governor. Let's turn to another event in 1960 when Capital Airlines Flight 20 crashed in Virginia. Capital Airlines Flight 20 from Washington, D.C. to Norfolk, Virginia, a Vickers 745D Viscount crashed on a farm in Charles City County, Virginia, on January 18, 1960. All 50 passengers and crew members were killed in the crash. The cause of the accident was reportedly engine failure and loss of control. The results of the investigation stated the pilot was late in protecting the aircraft engines from cold temperatures. Finally, all 4 engines shut down and all 4 propellers automatically detached. We end today in history with United Airlines Flight 266 crashing in the Pacific Ocean. United Airlines Flight 266 from Los Angeles International Airport, California to General Mitchell International Airport, Milwaukee, Wisconsin crashed in Santa Monica Bay, Pacific Ocean on January 18, 1969 at about 6:21 p.m. local time. The plane reportedly crashed 4 minutes after taking off from Los Angeles International Airport. All 38 passengers and crew members were killed in the accident. Based on the results of the investigation, United Airlines 266 plane crash was due to a mechanical failure that caused a loss of electrical power. A number of bodies were found floating in the ocean along with the wreckage of the fuselage. That was today in history from Voice of Indonesia.
Tak sanggup ku lupakan.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on gas, the most important component for the production process and raw materials. Indonesian Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita highlighted the importance of guaranteed gas supply and prices to support the sustainability of the industrial sector. In his statement in Jakarta Friday, the minister stated the specific natural gas price program must be implemented immediately to maintain factory operations. He emphasized the availability of gas at a stable price is the key to the sustainability of various industries. This is in line with the specific natural gas price policy, which sets gas prices below $6 per MMBTU or million British thermal units for 7 industrial groups, namely fertilizers, petrochemicals, oleochemicals, steel, ceramics, glass, and rubber gloves. Previously, Minister Agus Gumiwang also highlighted the role of industrial gas producers in supporting the manufacturing sector. Until now, as many as 189 industrial gas producers are members of the Association of the Indonesian Industrial Gas, which has produced up to 2.5 million tons of gas per year, exceeding the national requirement of only 1.4 million tons. He said industrial gas plays an important role in various sectors such as hospitals, the steel industry, and oil drilling, along with the increasing downstreaming activities of mineral-based industries and the opening of new industrial areas. The need for industrial gas is projected to continue to increase. The government is also encouraging the development of new energy such as hydrogen and green ammonia to support the sustainability of gas industry ecosystem. The policies issued are expected to strengthen Indonesia's position as one of the countries with the largest manufacturing sector in the world. Meanwhile, the Association of Various Indonesian Ceramics Industries assessed the specific natural gas price policy was able to reduce production energy costs by up to 26%, which is very important for industries such as ceramics that require large amounts of energy. That was my Indonesia today.
Terima kasih. of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder. Lister, Pranajiwo is a sub-district in Lumajang Regency. It's Java province, which is located at the foothill of Mount Semeru. It also offers a natural panorama with various tourism spots that can be enjoyed by domestic and foreign tourists. One of them is Tetes Cave, located in Sidumulyo Village, Pranajiwo sub-district, Lumajang Regency, East Java province. Goa Tetes is one of the natural attractions in Lumajang that is suitable for those of you who are adventurous. Goa Tetes is a combined attraction between a waterfall and a cave. Lister, Goa Tetes has unique beauty and it's not found in many other places because the cave is under a waterfall. So a lot of water drips from the ceiling of the cave, then seeps into the cave wall and creates water droplets that never dry. When you enter Goa Tetes, you will be greeted by the beauty of the stalagmites and stalactites in the ceiling and the floor of the cave, which form an extraordinary sight. In this tourism destination, you can also enjoy various activities such as playing water, exploring the cave, or sitting back and enjoying the view of the cave. The journey to Goa Tetes waterfall is quite challenging because you have to go down the river for about 10 minutes to reach this cave. Although the distance is only 1 kilometer, the slippery terrain due to the flow of water makes this trip needs to be done carefully. Lister, the name of Goa Tetes comes from the water droplets that seeps into the cave. For you who wants to enjoy Goa Tetes, an entrance ticket of $10,000 per person will be charged. Goa Tetes Tourism Attraction is open every day from Monday to Sunday and from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. West Indonesia time. Listeners, that's Indonesian Wonder. See you tomorrow with another interesting topic. Bye-bye.
Tertuju padamu. Oh, tahu.
listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you Miss Melanie. Listener, today's miscellany informs you about one of the grand events that is the pride of Indonesia, namely the 4th International Quran Recitation Competition, or Musabaqah Tilawatil Quran, or MTQ, which will be held in Jakarta from January 28 to February 2, 2025. Previously, Indonesia held the same event in 2015. The 4th event will be attended by 60 participants from 38 countries and is real evidence of Indonesia's role in mainstreaming the image of moderate and peaceful Islam. This international Quran recitation competition is not just a competition to read the Quran, but also a strategic momentum to show the world the face of Indonesian Islam, which is tolerant, inclusive, and full of peace. In preparation for this event, a strict selection was conducted online in December 2023, involving participants from 187 countries. As a result, 60 finalists from various branches, such as Quranic tilawah or recital and Quran memorization or tahfiz, managed to qualify from the grand final round. The participants representing the continents of Asia, Africa, Europe, and America reflect the diversity that makes this event even more colorful. Besides the competition, the 4th International MTQ is also enlivened by various supporting activities, such as several international seminars on Islam and Islamic culture, a visit to the Al-Quran Museum in Taman Mini Indonesia Indah Cultural Park, a visit to the Al-Quran Printing Unit, and a tour of the Istiqlal Mosque Rahim Tunnel. All of them are designed to introduce Indonesia as the center of Islamic civilization in the world. This event is expected to run smoothly and leave a deep impression on the participants and spectators. Well, listeners, that's today's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you.
you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App and Shortwave Frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Music Corner presents a keroncong song entitled Buih Jadi Permadani by Hetikus Endang. Hetikus Endang has been able to maintain her existence in the Indonesian music scene since 1970s. Despite working for more than 50 years, her name has never been forgotten even in neighboring Malaysia. Her charm has never faded, and her works from various genres have made her an idol throughout the ages. And she is known as a versatile singer. Hetikus Endang tries to revive keroncong songs through the song Buih Jadi Permadani with a new touch. In addition, the single is present because of the pressure from fans in Indonesia and Malaysia who want Hetikus Endang to return to work. The song tells the story of someone who feels insecure in a romantic relationship. It also describes feelings of hurt and disappointment due to rejection of love. Well, listener, here is Hetikus Endang with the song Buih Jadi Permadani.
Bye.
Voice of Indonesia.
Terbuai aku dalam mulut manismu yang penuh dengan janji palsu, seakan semuanya indah. Terpuruk aku di dalam lembah cinta yang membuat mataku buta, karena diriku selama ini tak tahu dirimu mendua. Biarkan ku bawa luka hatiku ini, dan tak akan aku sesali. Cintaku bersemi, pergilah kasihku, harap kau bahagia, dan biarkanlah cinta kita hanyalah menjadi cerita. Membasahi gaun merahku yang engkau berikan untukku. Oh, gaun merah ini hanya menjadi saksi bisu saat kau tinggalkan diriku. Terbuai aku dalam mulut manismu yang penuh dengan janji palsu, seakan semuanya indah. Terpuruk aku di dalam lembah cinta yang membuat mataku buta, karena diriku selama ini tak tahu dirimu mendua. Biarkan ku bawa luka hatiku ini, dan tak akan aku sesali.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRE Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at VOI_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.
これは Voice of Indonesia です。日本語で放送されている Voice of Indonesia は、インドネシアに関するニュース、情報、エンターテインメントだけでなく、様々な情報を提供します。周波数 332kHz および4755kHz で、またはウェブサイト www.foinews.id および LED デジタルアプリケーション KU で毎日放送を視聴したりアクセスしたりできます。Selamat malam, konbanwa. Rizman minasan, kyou, watashi, Iisan ga, Nihongo hosou wo okurimasu. Kyou no bangumi wa, niusu kara hajimari, tsuzuite, samazama na Indonesia no jouhou, soshite, ongaku wo okurimasu. Sore de o minasan, mazu wa, niusu wo okiki kudasai. Hiki tsuzuki, shuhasu 332kHz, ya, 4755kHz, ya,ウェブサイト www.foinews.id から Voice of Indonesia の放送をお聞きください。
リスナーの皆さん、これからニュースをお伝えします。それでは最初のニュースです。アリファ・ファウシー行政児童保護大臣は、インドネシアにおける児童の権利の実現と保護を支援する上でのビジネス界の役割の重要性を述べました。ビジネス